Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Here we are again.
Again? How did we do it twice?
Well, you know, because we're good. But no, today we are actually doing a doubleheader.
Yes.
We thought we would basically do that today because why not, right?
It's a twofer.
We like to break the norms. Every time somebody thinks they got us figured out, we do something else.
That's right.
So the first hour, if you guys are just listening in, the first hour we had Miss Anaheim Hills and Miss Anaheim, mm-hmm. 2016, in the studio. With the gentleman who runs the Miss Anaheim scholarship, Miss Anaheim pageant.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was really interesting.
It was not what
I expected. I guess I'm from that era where I still think the Miss America all kind of fit this Barbie doll image. And they were much more articulate. And they were like 18 and 19, and they carried themselves very well beyond their years. So it does teach you poise and confidence and other things.
Well,
it's not just about beauty.
I think the thing that I took out of it, and again, is it's a reinforcement to what we say on this show all the time, that it is really important to get in touch with what it is that you feel passionate about in life. And actually put your energies and efforts in that, because pursuit of your passion is not just something that you do when you have some time. It's actually something that can sustain you through life on many ways. When you're having those disappointments, when you're having those failures, when you don't win and get that crown, those are things that you can basically fall back on, is that you are, even in moments of failure, having pursued a passion and a path for something or a passion for something. And so you learn lessons, you get better, but there's a part of you that is satisfied, part of your soul that's satisfied, that as you even get older, and we've had, you know, some people here that have been fine artists, and they've been fine artists for 30 years, and they're in their 60s and 70s, and this is something that actually keeps them going. It keeps them, I mean, to use the cliche, but it keeps them young.
Yeah.
Right? And so we are, at the end of the day, a show that talks about life's journey. And these ladies, at the age of 18 and 19, were very much part of that life's journey, and they were not going to be denied. They were not going to deny themselves the uniqueness of their own story,
and they're doing it
for their own journey,
for a scholarship, help fund their education, and to get more poise and confidence, and yes,
you know, in a way, Paul, it just kind of hit me. I don't think there's any difference that I'm in my mind where these ladies that basically are doing this and they're pursuing scholarships and they're civically involved and they're, mm-hmm. they're giving back to their communities and there's a pride of community. Not really any different than the young men and women that basically joined the armed forces. As reservists that were pursuing.
You know what I got, though? The one said it all. The only time, because I said, what's it feel like, you know, if you lose? You know, you're Miss Anaheim Hills now. You might lose the next round. The higher up you go, the higher the pressure and everything. And they said, the only time you lose is if you don't try.
Yep. And I think that's literally from the mouth of babes. What is it, 18 years old?
Yeah.
And
we're going to try and wrap our heads around something else.
So here's the thing. So for the second hour, it's not an exact departure, okay? Remember, it's a life's journey.
It's how you prepare two things together that others don't see.
You know what? And this is the perfect lead-in, okay?
Okay.
The lady that I have in the studio right now, okay, has a company. And the company's name pretty much says it all based on what we just talked about.
Okay.
Okay. So, Angela, why don't you introduce yourself and tell people what the company's name is?
Okay. Hi, I'm Angela Clark, and my company is Living Your Choice.
Okay. So stop there. Do you see that?
Living Your Choice.
Did I do it again?
Living Your Dream, Living Your Choice.
Did I connect that? Okay, good. So tell us about Living Your Choice.
Living Your Choice is a company that we work with seniors and their families to help them navigate through all the different senior living products that are out in the market. We work face-to-face. We have a process that we go through, which is questions that we get to know the person. So we want to know medically what's going on, if anything, because mm-hmm. some people start down the journey just wanting independent living.
Correct.
They're tired of maybe mowing the yard or the house.
Help with groceries.
Or can't do it anymore.
Or can't do it. Yeah. And then, you know, the majority of the folks that we work with have a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking maybe mom or dad have lost their license, maybe they're scared to drive. Maybe there's medication bottles they can't read. Maybe we're talking about an Alzheimer's diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So we work through all of those questions on that side, but where we really want to make sure that we're creating a match for them and the right product line is the holistic and social side as well.
Right.
How do they live? How do you want to live? What are things you want? What are things that are going to fulfill your life? And as you stated in the beginning of the interview, you know, that life, that aging process to age well, mm-hmm. And to really have the things that you want.
I think most of us believe that that's just going to happen sort of instinctively and,
right.
and just by happenstance, and it really doesn't. You actually have to be engaged in it. You have to be proactive
you have to be proactive in preparing for it.
Right.
And from my perspective is what I see a lot of times doesn't happen, mm-hmm. is that we just put it off. We just, creatures of habit. You know, we procrastinate. Well, this particular aspect of it, it's funny what we pay attention to. We'll get the insurance for the car. We'll get mm-hmm. the insurance for mm-hmm. the house. We'll put money aside for the kids' college.
But old age?
Like
forget
but
it.
Nobody wants to deal with old age.
Right.
And yet, when you don't do that, you do yourself a disservice because you eliminate the possibilities for independent decisions.
Right.
Living life.
Well, then you don't have a choice.
By your choice,
right.
yeah.
Well, and... That is what happens. Most people start down this journey when the crisis happens.
Right.
A lot of our calls come from a hospital stay, a skilled nursing stay. They know they've got to make some changes. And that may be staying in the home with home care, mm-hmm. Which might be the right choice. It may be, though, that they want to go to an all-inclusive senior living community. Lots of options out there.
Well, it's not a one-size-fits-all,
no,
which, again,
not.
Is, I think, a misnomer. That, you know, you're going to get to this age, you're going to sell your house, you're going to move to a smaller one. Then, at a certain point, you're going to go into this kind of assisted living. And then you're going to be moved to this ward. I mean, there it really is. We have this sort
That's
of compartmentalized mentality of things. And not only is it not the case, and when it is applied with that kind of homogeneous approach, people suffer. People don't get the kind of care that is uniquely customized to them. But also, the end user, that sounds like a marketing or product-based thing, but the end user today is not the end user it was 10 years ago.
Right.
It is a total different profile. Dobert, you said the word want. Mm-hmm. You know, to ask a senior what they want versus to tell them from a position of academic delivery kind of mm-hmm. what it is that they should have now that they are in this phase of life, that is a totally different attitude mm-hmm. of how you approach it.
Right. Well, and most seniors, obviously, as ourselves, would say, I want to stay home, or I don't want to do this. And a lot of times it's the fear-based, coming from fear.
Right.
And this is where the proactive piece starts to educate themselves.
Right.
You know, I always say to folks, you know what, if you go through this process and you do some research and you go look at everything out there, you interview some home care, you go to assisted living, senior living, and at the end of the day, if it's not for you, at
right.
least you have a plan going forward if something does happen.
Well, you've informed yourself, right?
Because we're afraid of the unknown, right?
Yeah,
and that
human
generation,
nature, yeah.
yeah, and that generation grew up with what we think of as convalescent homes with the tile floors, bright lights, smells terrible.
Right.
Mom or grandma went there to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
An 85-year-old today, or, you know, when you think about what they experienced with their grandparents
right.
or their mother and father is much different than what we have
so
available.
I'm going to take a minute here and just share something that we've talked about this,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't get talked about enough, and I kept saying it doesn't get talked about enough, and then lo and behold, last
Straight
Sunday,
from the paper
in the Orange County Register opinion section, the very, very first top of the page, California demographics, okay? And it's older, not bolder. And it basically talks to, and this hit really close to home because literally the data that was shared, two examples that were shared, and this is Orange County,
mm-hmm.
okay, is that more, I'm going to read this, more than 20% of Newport Beach residents and 18.6% of those in San Clemente. So my fellow San Clementian, 18.6% of those in our town
one
in
fifth,
San Clemente,
basically.
Okay, one-fifth are at least 65 years old.
Wow.
Right.
Okay, let's just sink in for a minute, okay? More than one-fifth are 65 years old today. Now, the national average is that people, baby boomers specifically, are turning 65 at about 10,000 people a day,
yes.
nationally,
that's
right?
Correct.
Okay, why am I bringing nationally in? Well, the population share for people at 65 in San Clemente and Newport Beach are above the county, regional, state, and national norms.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, these towns are rapidly becoming what demographers refer to as narcs. And no, that's not the stuff that your kids buy at school or get busted for, right? They're NORCs, N-O-R-C, are naturally occurring retirement communities, okay? That isn't a Leisure World. That isn't a Del Webb
Sunset
development.
Yeah, right.
The whole town of San Clemente
is organically
becoming a naturally occurring retirement community. Now, why is this kind of a critical thing for us to think about? Because if you don't plan for this, if we don't provide amenities for this, if we don't say, well, you know what? I don't want that to be the case.
Yeah.
I don't want to look out my window and see nobody but people that are 65. And that's a boomer mentality versus maybe an older generation mentality.
Right.
I don't want a crying baby next door, but I don't want to see no kids around.
Right.
So our communities are getting phased out to where people can't afford to live there. You know where the largest millennial growth, interestingly enough, second part of the article?
Mm-mm.
Inland Empire sees region's greatest millennial growth. Okay, driven by cost of housing, driven by things of that nature. Why should I care if I'm in San Clemente and Newport Beach? Why should I care if I'm in Orange County, which is the highest concentration of seniors?
Rod. I got mine. I don't care.
Yeah, but the highest concentration, we said this, right? The highest concentration of seniors, I know, Angela, you've got some stats too, but the highest concentration of seniors in the whole country is Orange County per capita.
Wow.
And in South Orange County, it's the highest in Orange County. So, okay, why should I care? Here's why you should care. Because traditionally, the infrastructure is built to fund and finance these amenities and needs for all this population, right? Was the younger generation. The younger generation were the ones who were getting the jobs.
Yeah.
They were the ones who were paying into taxes.
Schools,
they were the ones who were
centers,
basically paying for schools. What happens to the schools when you have a naturally occurring retirement community, okay, and you have a school system, right, where less and less people are going to the school? What happens to those properties? What happens to paying those for those decaying facilities?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you have 20%? 20% in Newport Beach. There's 20% of people in cars in Newport Beach that are over the age of 65.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not picking on anybody over the age of 65 and driving capabilities, but
careful.
My guess is there's some people, there may be some people that may prefer not to drive. But what is the alternative form of transportation?
Yeah.
Right.
Or maybe they are temporarily or long-term.
So you're saying these cities aren't planning for this. It's happening and they're not planning
and
for it.
And we've had a couple of people from Mission Viejo and stuff like that, and we've talked about this, and you have your city square thing, right?
Yeah.
How often does this come up?
Never.
Right. So again, when we say this not non-proactive denial component, we're not just picking on people.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about as a society as a whole, we have a burying our head
because
in the sand.
San Clemente and doesn't want to see itself as an aging city. It's still surf and sand. It's still fun and sun. It's still
18.6%, one-fifth of the population, is today 65.
And they're the ones who 10 years.
Well, and these are the folks that either have their own home, they've already paid for it, or can afford to live in that, you know, medium average house in San Clemente is like $800,000 or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, right? Affordable housing allows people who were born and raised in San Clemente to perhaps start their lives and contribute to the community. So when we basically say no to that kind of support system, we eliminate those San Clementians born and raised. When we basically look at all these older population that is aging, they're the ones that are going to stick around. They're going to be the ones that live in those houses.
A lot longer than people
thought.
And
who's going to afford to buy that $800,000 house? Maybe somebody from Villa Park that has a larger house and scales down, wants to be closer to the ocean. So we're not changing the age demographic. And yet we individually, we as communities, we are not really doing this, but we still have this sort of, you know, illusion that we will be living our life by our choice.
So let me ask your guest a question. This is really what it all comes down to. Why we plan for our education and save for
and how
it. And
how early, really? I mean, let's really. Okay,
should we become
conscious that we need to know?
Well, or the first
35,
question,
25, 65, what is it?
First question I was going to say is, why don't we plan for old age? We plan for you plan for your education, where I'm going to school, and what do I need to get into college? You plan for your career, what skills do I need to do? Where am I going to go? I'm going to move up the ladder, I'm going to open my business. I don't see people, and I'm 60 now, I don't see people planning for old age, older.
Angela, let me, you know, we kind of go off on a tangent here, but one of the things that we do on this show, especially when it comes to seniors, okay, or people involved in the senior industry, is we really believe that everybody has gotten into this, not because of the money. They've gotten into it because they either have a personal story or a person connect or a passion to do this.
To work in that field.
Right?
There, yeah.
There's definitely a caregiving aspect, regardless whether you're a caregiver or you're a referral agency or you're a nonprofit. There's a take care of something, somebody aspect that is in our DNA. So I know, and when you sent me the bio, I thought it was really cute that you started it with saying, as a little girl growing up in Kansas, and I got all kinds of images of Wizard of Oz when you said that, right? Okay. Angela often rode her bicycle to the local senior center to help out with elders in her community. So again, this is not an old person's game only. There are people who care, whether it's because you come from an extended family or whatever. So would you share a little bit about how you found yourself doing this?
Well, that is true. I rode my bike to
What bicycle? Do you remember what it was?
I don't. I was probably 7 or 8 years old. I also got a lot of my friends to come with me at times. In fact, my mother recently...
Community organizer,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
My mother recently had a newspaper article that was shot. At that, she saved it, and we were
cute.
Visiting, and I had a group of about 5 women, one in particular that I visited a lot. So it was really, you know, my passion for seniors has been a long time in my life. It's my career. I'm a nurse. I've been in senior living for 25 years.
Yeah.
So it just unfolded that way, just from the love that I have in my heart for seniors. And your demographics are exactly right, and you're sharing, you know, just 2 cities in Orange County.
Yeah,
Orange
out of 37.
Yeah, and Orange County is just inundated with even more numbers. We have Laguna Woods that has the oldest city in the country with the 90-plus-year-olds.
Wow.
So that's growing. We're
more 90-plus-year-old
people.
And people, tongue-in-cheek call it, you know, it's Leisure World, then they changed the name, but they kept the 2 initials, now it's Laguna Woods, right? But the point is, that's something you can expect maybe when you, it's Laguna Woods, of course it is, right?
Right.
What I'm saying is just look a little closer, boys and girls, because it's happening in your own neighborhood.
Well, and that was built for 55-year-olds, 50-year-olds. I mean, that was a 55-plus independent living. I mean, a lot of ranch-style, big, you know, there's townhouses.
Retire and play golf.
It's not set up really to help someone that may be needing
90.
Some assistance.
No, I mean, I'm not picking on Laguna Woods.
No.
But I heard, and I was shocked, because I'm certified aging in place, and I do commercial work, so we do a lot of ADA stuff.
And I'm
right?
certified aging.
Mm-hmm. You outrank me.
I'm certified aging, certified old.
You're certified in many ways, but we'll leave that alone. There were buildings in Laguna Woods that didn't have an elevator.
Right. So
multi-story buildings.
For the right person, it's the right thing. But there's some folks that you know may need some help. So there's that. Demographic, and we don't, you know, I think your question was, you know, we don't plan, and, you know, it's tough to plan for anything these days. I mean, I've got kids in college. I mean, did I plan completely? No. Do I want to plan and talk about when I'm 85? No, that's a very difficult, you know, conversation. Do I need to have that conversation with my children now? Absolutely.
Why is it so difficult? I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off.
And that's a good question. Do you think it's
difficult? First of all, we see ourselves as younger than we are.
Yes.
Especially Amen. When we get to be seniors, which AARP, you know, classifies us as 50 and over.
Yeah.
So we don't see ourselves really needing that.
Okay, would you repeat that again? Because I've said it. I've said it before.
Yeah. AARP, it's 50 and over. So if
you're 50
or
over, you are. If you're 50 or over, you are basically a senior.
Right.
Welcome to the club.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's a hard conversation.
I joined day one.
And that generation, you know, if you think about our 85-year-olds, they are the greatest generation. It was World War II.
Right.
They've had children right when they were going in the war. I know I can speak for my family. You know, I'm 46, almost 47. I have 67-year-old parents, and I have 91-year-old grandparents that are all still alive. Everybody's 20 years, you know, kind of that 20
that is,
plus.
That is amazing.
So you kind of grew up together.
You. That's, you know, that's wild.
You grow up together.
Yeah.
And that's tough when you have maybe the 65-year-old that might be needing some services or having some health issues, and I'm taking care of mom, too, that's 85.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that caregivers, that either the spouse or a caregiver in that situation, they have health issues decline quicker than the person that they're taking care of.
So correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is, and I think, again, it's important to point this out to people, that a typical caregiver, in a family, or let's say a decision maker, where somebody, all right, that's taking care of a parent, or maybe 2 in some cases.
A grandparent, she's saying.
Sometimes
it could be.
It's all sandwiched together.
Right. Sandwich generation.
Yeah.
Okay, is a person who is in their 40s or 50s, typically, it's typically the lady, who's holding a job or has her own business, classic case, you're sitting right in front of me.
Right.
Right? That is also taking care of kids.
Right.
So I,
yeah, I am the target market.
The daughter-in-law typically
are the ones that do start this process with the family.
And you're not talking just about two. Typically in the sandwich, there's two pieces of bread. You're talking about three pieces of bread.
Because you have a grandparent as well as a parent and then kids on the other side.
Right. And so having that conversation of...
And a spouse, which
things that you might want. These are hard conversations. It's a very proud generation. Uh-huh. I know from, my grandparents and my parents, they don't really talk money. They don't want to talk money. It's just they were very private.
They don't want to be dependent and they don't want to...
And that's a good conversation. You know, we have X amount of dollars for retirement. Here's what we've got. But what if we do live to be 85? What if we live to be 100? Mm-hmm. We know that
the life expectancy is now increased.
Right. So is that money going to last? And if it's not going to last and you're my child, are you going to be able to help and kick in? Because to your point with people running out of money, or they might have an asset like a home, but selling that home or getting the right buyer for that home, is that going to last? If you sell that home and let's say you do get that whole $750,000, is that going to be enough?
Angela, we had somebody here that said that their dad prepared, got the insurance,
everything,
got the house,
mm-hmm. healthy.
They thought the dad was going to take care of the mom. Mm-hmm. It was the dad who deteriorated.
Mm-hmm. He had some kind of
they went through the insurance, the house, the whole thing,
everything,
and ran out of it.
Right. Yeah, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
And there's been some changes with, home care has changed a little bit with some of the state regulations have changed this year.
Yeah.
So financially, it's very difficult to meet some of those finances that are having to go towards the state to also then
speak a little bit to that.
So home care changed this year. They are regulated, which I'm talking the home care non-medical.
Yeah.
They are regulated in the state of California now. They have to pay a very significant fee for the year. Mm-hmm. They also pay licensing for each of their caregivers.
And they have to pay them real wages and overtime and other things, which they didn't necessarily do. Yeah.
So prior years, you could, let's say, hire a caregiver and just give them a flat rate for 24 hours.
Right.
Now they have to pay after that 8.5 hour. You have to go to a time and a half, just like other businesses.
Well, it basically is an industry that used to be by your own choice self-regulate to one that now has regulation.
Mm-hmm. And it's the non-medical stuff that most people need. They need, help with cooking, cleaning,
dressing.
I can't see my medicine bottle, bathing, so I need somebody to read my medicine. We get calls where, someone needs those things and they think that that's a skilled nursing that they can go in and have Medicare pay for that.
Right.
Well, that's not a skilled need. So, that's the other education piece for folks that are helping their seniors is that, Medicare doesn't pay for these things. And that's really
that was the shock of my own parents' life. We talked about many times. My parents passed away a couple of years, one after the other. And as they got to that point, they're in their 90s and they needed help. Mm-hmm. And we just assumed Medicare. I assumed Medicare was there, and Medicare wasn't for any of this stuff. And it was an unregulated Wild West, and you didn't know what you were getting.
But again, when did you even start looking at it?
Until there was a crisis.
Right.
So we go back
to the same premise, which is basically educate yourself to be able to make as much independent decision-making.
It would be like,
imagine
if you're going through high school, your kids are going through high school, you said, or high school or college now or whatever. They're,
mm-hmm. College. And
so imagine if their last year of high school, they suddenly went, oh my God, I'm going to graduate in a week. Yeah. I'm going to graduate in a month. What am I going to do? And all the parents went, oh my God, we hadn't thought about this.
Apply to graduate school.
Oh my God, we better do something.
Kick the can down the road.
That sounds so absurd. You would never do that as you were getting close to graduating. You would never do this at other ages. Why at this age do we still say, oh my God, I didn't know mom was going to need help. I never thought about this. Why never thought I'd need help?
It is that denial. We don't want to think of ourselves as aging. Hopefully we all get to do it. I mean,
what's the alternative?
Of life.
Right. Yeah.
And, to speaking of some of the statistics mm-hmm. of if you think this isn't going to happen to you, this is from the National Council of Aging, and this is for people 65 and over.
Wait a second. I got to plug my ears.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. You're on the
come into the light, Paul. No denial for you today.
Go ahead, you can talk. I've just got my mic earphones turned down.
Just ignore him.
Yeah, so if you think that... So National Council of Aging put a research study out that 92% of older adults, so 65 and over, have one chronic disease.
And then already?
Already. And this 77% have four or more.
Yeah.
So when you think about that, I mean, starting at 65,
mm-hmm.
I mean, 77% have four chronic illnesses.
Oh, my God.
And then on top of that, the study went to show that a senior falls every 15 seconds and is treated in the emergency room. Every 29 minutes, an older American dies of a fall.
Okay, could you?
So
could you,
would
you,
that's really, I mean, those statistics are.
Would you go back? Would you go back for one thing for me, please?
Mm-hmm.
The falls, right?
Right.
Would you repeat that, including the last part of where they get the treatment?
Yep. So every.
Wait, let me plug my ears again.
No, it's important. Hold
every 15 seconds, an older adult is treated in the emergency room.
Okay, so here's why I said
that's seconds.
Here's the reason why I asked Angela to repeat that. Again, I'm going to use San Clemente as an example. We had a hospital in San Clemente. We still currently have a hospital in San Clemente. It's going to be gone at the end of May.
Right.
Right? Because Memorial Care, who I'm not picking on Memorial Care other than I don't understand this from even a business model perspective, okay, is eliminating that. They wanted to turn that hospital into specialty offices for doctors and eliminate the emergency room.
Money.
So we would be basically having to take the likes of my parents mm-hmm. that live in San Clemente all the way up to Mission.
Sure.
Okay.
Which is
or down to Oceanside, which is adding another at least 15 to 20 minutes. And anybody who's been on the freeway on the 5 realizes that there's no consistency whatsoever in how fast you're going to get through things. Right. So I'll just say it. I'm trying to understand the decision, but it's almost unconscionable in my mind. When you have a population that's 18.6% 65 and getting older, that you would eliminate medical facilities when it was 15 seconds. Every 15 seconds, a senior or an elderly person falls
right.
and has to
you
basically
can't
be taken
really
care of.
Really be asking this question. My father did some consulting work after his career in Chrysler. Do you really think that the emergency room is where they make money in a hospital?
No, that's not where they make money in the hospital. My point is, though, you're a nonprofit, you're a Christian-based, faith-based nonprofit, and you've got a community that has that. Now, so here's the deal, okay? How do you do that? People go, well, it'll never happen, the money, whatever, right?
It's a corporation.
No, you approach it from the fact that it's a value-based model versus a reimbursement-based model, which means that you basically provide services at lesser cost, but you provide necessary services that are required in your community. We start talking about this thing being a denial factor, right? I'm looking at a closure of a hospital that has an emergency room in a community that has an aging population
right.
as a denial factor.
Point.
It's not a denial factor. It's a money factor. If they can do specialty offices for specialty practices that have much higher profitability for them, much higher profitability than the free stuff they give, cheap stuff they give away in the emergency room, which is a loss leader for them.
So here's
why wouldn't
so
they
here's
try
what,
and
here's
get
where,
rid of that?
And I apologize, Daniel. I think it's a little off tangent, but here's where I will challenge the hospital. I will challenge Memorial Care. Okay, get your heads out of your behinds. Okay, and start looking at this as a community that is affluent, that has average price house of $800,000 and higher.
Mm-hmm.
You've got people that are basically healthier longer. You've got the possibility of putting in an emergency room in a medical facility that is in an affluent community and ask for a different model of paying for it. And you will get that to happen because it's also geographically defined. It's not a 200,000 people population. It's almost 85. It'll be
right.
probably about 85. So if you abandon the fact that everything has to be done the same way we've done things for 20 years, and the minute anything called Affordable Care Act comes in, you basically say, oh, the sky is falling. We've got to basically cut things. Okay? What you're doing is you're not just cutting your losses and you're trying to increase your profits. You're also cutting off people. People, human beings
but
that are needing
I don't want to service. Sound like I'm on a preacher's bench here, but take a look at medicine used to be. You went into medicine not to make a fortune. You went into medicine to help people. Hospitals like the ones you're talking about were founded. I'm a good Irish Catholic. Some of them were founded by nuns and Catholic orders and whatnot. They were there to serve people. It wasn't about making money. All of those hospitals, for the most part, have been sold to corporations now. They might still be, say, St. Joseph's or St. somebody on there, but the nuns have nothing to do with it.
And they've
anymore.
Consolidated, so you don't even have
and,
the
and
option
it's all about
alternatives.
These, and it's all about making a profit these days. We've turned medicine into big business, big bucks, big I'm sorry, there's a ton of money being made by drug companies, hospitals, and physicians, especially specialty physicians, and that's part of what we're trying to fight back against. So, the people.
Let me ask this to bring it back to this, Angela. Okay, you got people that are in need of medical services. You got people that are in need of emergency room, right? You shared some of these statistics, and I know you've got some more that you're going to share. Mm-hmm. How do we take care of our seniors?
Mm-hmm. That's the question.
I think to the conversation about the business piece, yeah. And you know, hospitals have been bought by big corporations. Skilled nursing's been bought by big corporations. You know, to make it a positive.
In some cases, by the way, both, right?
Right.
Because now caregiving is now part of a hospital.
You know, since
offering.
We know these demographics are growing in certain locations, and there had been some noise out there in the country about some hospitals having ERs that would specialize in seniors or having mm-hmm. different programs. I haven't seen that happen really too much here.
I haven't seen that happen. No.
But you know what? You know, when you have a business, how do you be innovative? You bring on new products.
And that's
you be creative.
My point. Right.
Maybe they look at that. I mean, treating a hospital like a business, it's not necessarily a bad thing because it could serve the population
in fact, if we had
some really great product out there.
Absolutely.
To serve what's in your demographic?
No, absolutely. In fact, if you look at it in terms of just and look, I'm a service provider. Okay, you're a service provider. Mm-hmm. Paul is a service provider, right? I mean, if you really want to look at it and look at that instead of it being a challenge, looking at it as it being an opportunity, okay, you've got a demographic, mm-hmm. which is 78 million people in this country.
Mm-hmm. Underserved.
That's a huge market that is underserved.
Right.
How do you not figure out a way to basically serve that market?
Yeah, and the nation spends $30 billion just from our conversation on the falls. So thinking about that, right now, from this
cost.
15 seconds, we spend $30 billion. That's a B, not an M.
Yeah.
And we know by 2020, with this forecast, with the demographics, that's going to go to $59.6 billion.
On wow. falls.
Yes. Just on falls. We're not talking about
yes.
diabetes, congestive heart failure, wow. high, you know, none of, we're talking
can
just
I interrupt
falls.
For 1 second and just add a personal observation? Again, I've said a million times, I won't go through it, my parents both passed away. They both fell.
Yep.
And the fall precipitated their death. And both of them, after my mother went through it, and my dad said, he used to have these odd conversations with me, and he'd say, he's in his 90s, I wonder what's going to get me. I say, Dad, I don't even want to talk about this. He says, I'll bet it's a fall. That was his number one concern, and by God, he fell, hit his head, and started a brain aneurysm that bled for months, and he died. My father died from a fall. He didn't die from a heart attack. He didn't die from cancer. He didn't die, all the things that we had thought would be the risk factors. He died from a fall. My mother died from a fall. My mother's sister's still alive at 90. She's fallen several times. Her number one fear is falling.
Yeah.
If you don't have anybody at that age range, you don't anticipate that as being even a concern, much less a real serious condition.
Well, and you really backed up the statistics because we said every 29 minutes
yep.
somebody passes from
yep.
a fall. And I think that's where the proactive piece comes in. Whether you decide to go, you know, you have home care, nobody, senior community, maybe it's more trips to the senior center, whatever that is you've decided that you need. I look at this as what is your plan for great aging?
Yeah.
So if you're in that home and you know there's stairs and you're in a high rise without an elevator, or maybe it's the home that has a, you know, I was visiting a woman the other day and she would go down to take her recycling and she's been in the home 50 years. She had a staircase that's very tall. Your feet can barely fit on the steps.
And you're getting down recycling.
And she had no side rails. And you know what? She isn't ready to, she wants to be in her home. Mm-hmm. Great.
Or as
so
Rod talks about retroactive, putting,
yeah, so let's take time and then let's
changing
be proactive.
The toilets,
and
changing the bath.
Let's switch out some stuff. Let's get those side rails.
Let's do an
audit on the home.
Right.
So it's that proactive
piece. Absolutely.
Because who wants to
There's also a financial benefit.
Yeah.
Because
you're also reducing
the cost outlays by staying in your home if it, in fact, can accommodate
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have a lady right now that I'm working with right now that we potentially could be redoing her place. Is she wants to live in a condo that she owns with ocean views, and it is refreshing to hear somebody actually say to you, I'm going to have needs in the future, so mm-hmm. I want to make sure that what we are doing can accommodate that. I mean, how refreshing, and not only refreshing, how self-empowering is that for somebody to get to that point of awareness?
Right.
So this denial factor is not really necessarily making anything better. In fact, you're hurting yourself. So how do you help people, Angela, with what you do?
Let's take a break here first and let this digest.
Okay, so when we come back, I want to talk about that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how do we actually give people an actionable thing. Give people solutions of what they can do.
Okay, right after this.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
Okay, so one of the things we were talking about, and we kind of got off what seems to be on a tangent, but I think, again, you know, aging in place, aging in your own home, I want you
and
guys...
And preparing, yeah, having a plan.
Yeah, I want people to actually get out of the mindset that a home is a literal thing. It's four walls and a roof, okay? Home is your neighborhood. Home is your community, okay? Home is your cul-de-sac, okay? You don't live shut in a house. Okay, and so what does that talk about? It talks about community, it talks about social components, right? Socializing components, connection, relationships,
getting
all
out,
of this
seeing
stuff,
people,
right?
Yeah.
Which we all know in many cases, you get out of your own head, you know, don't let your own wheels drive you crazy, Eagle song, right? One of my favorites. Is basically, you know, you get out, you get involved, you get volunteer, you go out, have a friggin' drink with somebody, you know, or meet some people, locals that you know. So the social component is extremely important. And so social connections have a direct connection to health, okay? And with that, I'm going to basically turn on to Angela because she brought to my attention a study that was done, and it's if I can share that, Long-Term Living Magazine, okay? And it's...
Didn't know there was such a magazine.
Pamela Tabor, yeah, Long-Term Living Magazine, okay? It's ltlmagazine.com. And this is an article from the editor-in-chief, Pamela Tabor. And Angela, why don't you walk us through that?
Okay, this is one of the first studies that has come out about socialization and your health and how that's connected. It was done out of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And basically what they studied is the social connection over the lifespan and the difference between how you connect when you're at a younger state in your life and seniors, and then relating that to your health and things that might go on in a health situation. So, you know, a lot of folks I talk to will say, oh, mom and dad are okay, or mom's okay. And then we start to talk about their daily life of, let's talk about what they do during the day. And this study was led by Kathleen Mullen Harris. She's a PhD out of Chapel Hill. And what her study is showing is that when we're younger, we need to be around a quality group of people. Mm-hmm. So I always thought about, my mom didn't let me hang around a certain group of girls I wanted to hang around in seventh grade.
Yeah. They're bad.
Now I understand.
They're bad news.
So
bad girls.
We want that type of, you know, we want to control that and help our youth.
Rod tried to hang around with the bad girls, but you were supposed to stay away.
And they wouldn't give me the time of day.
And then what she studied is when we are seniors, what does that mean? What does socialization mean? And what she showed is that we really need quantity of people. Lots of different people that have gone through different walks of life, our contemporaries around us. So those same age people that have experienced life the same time. You can imagine somebody that's been through World War II that could sit around and talk about those stories.
Mm-hmm. And if you have an opportunity to listen to those people, listen to them, because you know what? Those are not going to be around all forever.
No.
Right. And so she, in the study, it showed that if you don't have those things, you could see a decline in your health. So they were studying, just chronic disease, which mm-hmm. we talked about that. Mm-hmm. The chronic disease, we just shared stats on that. Mm-hmm. Things, the falling, just overall health. So the study is very interesting because I hear from a lot of families, and I've worked with a lot of families over the years, and I'll hear people say, oh, mom's okay. Well, tell me about that. What does she do during the day? Mm-hmm. And when we start to talk about the daily life, maybe the kids stop by once a week, or maybe it's every day, but it's not that quantity of people.
Right.
So
they become isolated.
They become isolated. So it's being
it's
around
bubble.
People your age. So, mm-hmm. I always encourage starting first with looking at your local community. What does the senior center have to offer? Some of the senior living communities, you can partake in a lot of activities for mm-hmm. free and get used to what that lifestyle might be. And see if it's something for you.
You know, Angela, the thing is, though, until you said the word senior, mm-hmm. I was kind of gauging it, all right? We talked about this whole study, about the importance of social connection and health. And we talked about it without ever mentioning the word age or the word what that age number was. Mm-hmm. So here's the reality. The reality is that social connection that we're talking about, mm-hmm. that it has a direct impact on our health and well-being, whether we are... we haven't even gone to school, or we're in school, or we're in high school, or whatever, college. I think that applies across the whole age spectrum.
Right, absolutely.
Now, the study may be done specifically to review impacts and realities for people that are, mm-hmm. quote-unquote, seniors. But, long-term living. Anybody in this room doesn't have any plans to long-term live? I mean...
Oh, I'm going to live forever,
Right, but my point is, this isn't something that you wake up at the age of 65 and go, wait a minute, you know what? I have a plan. I must focus on long-term living all of a sudden, right?
Yeah,
from
right.
day one when you were born and you're right. enjoying life, you won't have a plan to live forever.
Right.
So this attitude that we happen to be talking about here isn't limited to seniors. And I keep bringing that up all the time because it makes it easier when you realize at the age of 35, I should have the same focus as I am at the age of 65 because it is quality of life
right.
driven.
Don't start at
right.
65,
right.
huh?
Well, don't start at 65.
Yeah.
Start as early as you... I mean, it's an awareness thing, right? I am aware that I want to have a good quality of life. I want to have independent decision-making. I want to have a healthy... relationship with life, with people around me, and these are some of the
but
things that I need
to
be aware of.
Adapt to different changes. Obviously, you're a different person when you get married than when you're a kid or when you're in college, and you're a different person as you get older. And I think what she's saying, and what I certainly experience, is you don't really believe that. You don't really accept that you're a different person. So you don't suddenly say, maybe I should change the house. Maybe I should get out more.
Yeah, but you know
I should do other things.
You know what, Paul? I agree. And every phase of life comes with its own realities and challenges and what have you. But
right.
I think somebody who has a conscious awareness, I won't even talk about seniors. If you have a conscious awareness about diet, about health, about customizing what your body and how your body reacts to certain things, that you have a wellness approach, a holistic, you use mm-hmm. the word holistic, we don't use the word holistic enough,
right.
Okay, a holistic approach to wellness, okay, wellness is not the same for every person. You want wellness with no smoke-free or wellness with a cigar mm-hmm. occasionally. The point is that you have a wellness concept of your life. If you had that at the age of 20, I think when you hit 65, you still have that. Mm-hmm. That is how you look at living.
But the reality is when you're 20, you think you can eat anything, party all night, and you can get away
and
with
that,
it.
And those are the realities that come with age.
You're
I can't digest
weight,
the food
whatever.
The same way I did, so I have to watch night burgers down to one individual versus a double patty at 11 o'clock at night
can't
from an In-N-Out burger.
Can't drink
I'm
like
kidding.
I used
I don't
to. Can't
like
stay
that.
Up all night. I gain weight
so,
easier.
So what else came out of that study?
And so really it was the relationship, the social relationship, our behaviors. It was directly linked to chronic disease. And we saw on the stats, and that's why I love all these, how it's marrying. All these studies that are coming out are actually, I mean, it's the holistic thing. And that's really where our mission is. You had asked the question, how do we work with that?
Absolutely.
We believe in that. We think that not every... thing, you know, there's a lot of senior living options, there's a lot of different home care things you can do, but what's going to be right for you? And we have a full conversation, we educate, we become an advocate as well. You know, we will stay with that person through interviews with, you know, if they're going to do home care, we will tour with them if they want to see communities. We are experts in the senior living landscape out there. It's very confusing. I mean, obviously we're in a world of technology and many times people start to do some research and, but the, it can be very confusing. People get on. So we've really do that face to face, ask those questions that's important because this is the biggest decision that is going to be for them. I mean, you can imagine being 85 years old, you're having some needs and what is that going to look like for you?
So for a typical person, your experience as far as approaching you for help, how, what's at that age? What's that typical person coming to you?
Yeah, the bulk of
it
who comes 20. To us, no. You know what, you know, a lot of people, it is the adult children. So we see it's either the daughter or the daughter-in-law, they're calling because mom, they're kind of the voice of the family.
Right.
They're starting down to, you know, the path to start this journey. Typically, unfortunately, it is when something's happened.
But they're contacting you for somebody else.
Right.
Yes. And so that's why we do meet face to face. We do meet the senior very quickly because we believe getting the senior in the process. One of my questions is, have you talked to your loved one?
Right.
Do they know that you're concerned? And most people do say yes.
Yeah,
but, you know, we have those cases where they're like, we haven't gone there. And we'll help open that conversation up as well with the family because that's difficult. Lots of family dynamics usually.
Existing
which, you've got
dynamics, right.
Siblings and aunts and
we don't talk
and
about this or
right.
I only talk to a certain
so, you
person
know
about that.
We help with that too.
Yeah.
So we can be a third party that really opens up conversation and facilitates, even if it's just the planning piece.
How do you get
difficult.
Compensated?
How do you get compensated?
We got 2 minutes left here. How do you get compensated?
So we have, we do, it is a free service. We do get compensated.
A free service?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So we do get compensated from a senior living community if they make that decision.
Okay.
Now, if we help with home care or other services, that's something that we just do.
Right.
So we do have a pay-for-fee service line that is done on a comprehensive plan. If there's other things like I talked about, if there's needs, that's a pretty large menu. You can look on our website because there's things people want. They might want that home assessment. We can do that. We can go in and basically, look at the dangers, give you a plan on things that we would recommend. Maybe it's someone, I had a person that kids lived on either coast.
Right.
Mom was having to go from hospital to skilled nursing. No one was there. We can do that. So
not unusual, by the way.
We have a lot of families that live out of town and they need help.
And do you do it everywhere or just in Orange County?
We are in Southern California. So we are north of L.A., Riverside, Orange County, San Diego. And then we have an office in Oregon. So Portland, down to the coast, up to the
Washington. Do you have Palm Springs and all those areas?
Yep.
Out there,
yep. Right? Yes.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing. Because last minute here. Yeah, it's the old adage of it's not for me, it's for somebody else.
Right.
It's not me, it's my friend, right? So I think there is a missed opportunity, and I think maybe we as professionals, servicing this community, we are approached by people that are making decisions for others, or at least wanting to take care of others, right? Well, they're not looking at it for themselves. However, I think it's an opportunity to educate them because guess what? Down the road, they're going to need it. So if it's no longer a scary topic to talk about, it could be that in 20 years from now, we're not having as much difficulty basically getting people up to speed quicker.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. How do they get in touch with you?
Yes. Our website is livingyourchoice.com, and you can fill out a contact sheet there, and we'll contact you. Our 800 number is also listed on the website, and that's 800-418-9098. And we do a phone discussion, and then we will talk about a face-to-face. So we do like to see people face-to-face within 24 hours.
So anytime you come across anything that's as interesting as a study, please let me know and either come in and we can talk about it or you can even call in and share that. That would be awesome.
Yep. So again, it's 800-419-9098.
And the website?
livingyourchoice.com.
Thank you so much, Angela, for coming
today.
It was a really interesting conversation. And we'll be back next week.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net.
Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.